Together with brothers and sisters in Christ and to offer our worship to God. We're just very blessed. We've enjoyed some beautiful rains lately, and we have the hope of more coming, and it just seems like that. And I don't know about you, it lifts my spirits a lot, and I'm not growing any corn or cotton or anything like that. I can only imagine what it's like for those who struggle just trying to get something up. So we've been very blessed and much to be thankful for. It's been good to see the health returning to so many. I'm glad that Mike's pacemaker installation went well. I was just thinking, as skilled as Mike is, I would have thought he would have done that himself, and I'm sure he would have done a good job at that. But I was very pleased that went well. Mark seems to be doing well. Good to have Peggy feeling good again. It's just good to see everybody back and doing well. And we do have one or two that are missing tonight, and we certainly want to remember them. We talked about the idea of how important it is for us to have in our mind that we don't want to miss heaven. It is too spectacular. I can only imagine what God has planned for us. But to think that He has had since before eternity began, or this world began, planning our eternity in heaven, it's got to be wonderful. I can remember getting to go on vacation with my parents, and we had a lot of really fine vacations through the years. But my favorite one was when we lived in Seattle, and my dad had a secretary. She was close to retirement age, and her husband, I think, was an executive somewhere, and they had money and a beach house. And she just told Dad anytime we wanted to use it, or he wanted to use it for the family to do that, and so we were able to do that. And I can remember the anticipation as we got closer to the day. Mom took us to Safeway and allowed us to choose any Craigmont pop that we wanted, and that was a big deal. We lived on beans and cornbread a lot, so to be able to choose what seemed like an unlimited supply of Coke. And so I can remember going in and getting black cherry and lemon lime and root beer and you name it. It was carte blanche. And then I can remember actually the day of us leaving and going to the beach. We lived pretty close as it was, but we had never got to stay on the beach, and we stopped at a store that was a throwback even for that time. I realize I'm a throwback, but it was a throwback even for that time. Had wood floors, and I can remember going in, and I assume I had saved my allowance, but maybe they gave us some money, and I can remember going through and getting some comic books and some licorice, and I mean it was just ideal, and the vacation hadn't even started yet. And then we got to the beach, and on the Pacific Ocean you get to watch the sun set on the beach, and what a beautiful view that was, even for a child. And I can remember going up and down the beach, and we had a dog, and I can remember him going out with the tide and one time bringing an octopus back in, which was just absolutely thrilling and scary all at the same time, because I knew from the shows I had watched that an octopus could kill you very easily, but he didn't, and the dog didn't seem to be too concerned. But it was something that I still remember to this day, even though I was probably about 8, 9 years old when it happened. My parents wouldn't have dreamed, well, maybe they would have, but they probably would not have dreamed of going on that vacation without us. It was something that they wanted to share with us. And I can remember vacations that Carolyn and I have taken, and part of the excitement was the thought of our kids getting to go with us and the fun that they would have. I can remember when we would get ready to go to the state basketball tournament, and I would start talking about it a month early. You know, 4 more weeks, and we'll be in the drum watching basketball or whatever it was that we were going to be doing. We wouldn't have wanted them to have missed out. Now, how do you think God feels about heaven and us being there? Don't you know that as parents, as family, who would not want to go on a vacation like I was describing without family, and would want to make sure they did everything they could to make that happen, don't you know God is looking down upon us and with anticipation? And as we talk about not missing heaven, He does not want us to miss heaven even more than we don't want to miss heaven, because He knows how beautiful it's going to be. And He also knows what the consequences of the other place are going to be. So, let me ask you three questions to start with. The first is this, and be honest. Do you think you're going to be in heaven? This, to me, is the most important question that we can ask ourselves. Are these questions along the lines of self? Am I saved? Will I be with God forever in heaven? And I'm not saying, do you deserve to be in heaven? I can answer that one really quick. The answer is no, I don't. But do I think I'm going to be in heaven? And the answer very quick is yes, I do. I am making plans to go to the one place I do not deserve to go to. And I can do that with confidence because God has already allowed Christ to die for my sins so that I could be there. And any father that is loving enough to go to that extreme to make sure that we'll be there is going to do everything that is right for him to do to help us to get there. And so if we have a hesitation in this, well, I don't know. You've got to make sure. What are you doing with your life that you would say, I don't know? I am not asking you to sit in God's place in the judgment. That's not the question. Do you think you'll be in heaven? And if the answer is, I don't know, or even I don't think so, what are you doing with your life? And what will you do to remedy that? Starting right now, because this is something that cannot wait. But for those of us who are anticipating going to the one place we don't deserve to go to, it's exciting. And it makes our view of life completely different than if we have a worldly view. The second question is this. If heaven were up to you, if you got to decide as far as making certain that your family, your friends could be there, would you do everything you could to make certain of that? And I think every decent person would say, well, of course, if it were up to me, I would make certain that each one could be there. And yet, are we? I remember a sermon, it's probably been 30 years ago, maybe 40 years ago, that I sat in on, and it made such an impression on me. He said, if I thought one of my children, was in danger of hell, he said, I would crawl on my hands and knees on glass if that's what it took to go beg them to change their life. And I thought, that really is the standard that we need. We couldn't bear it if our loved ones weren't going to be there. God could not bear it. And so the hardest thing for any parent to do was done by God. He allowed His Son to be killed, to be murdered, brutally murdered, so that His blood could be shed, so that ours wouldn't have to be, so that we could be with Him forever. And so the third question is, since it's up to God, don't you feel like that He has more desire than we do for us to be saved? And the answer has to be yes, for God so loved the world. Jesus died for Adolf Hitler. Jesus died for Charles Manson. Jesus died for these nuts that have been shooting up places lately. That does not mean that they're going to take advantage of his plan of salvation. As a matter of fact, when you look at the end of some of their lives, you have to assume that they didn't, unless there was something that they had within them that we don't know about. But God does not want you to miss heaven. And so understanding that, that changes the way, hopefully, we approach things. Because now we know, I want to be in heaven, God wants me to be in heaven. It's doable. It's not only possible, but it is probable. And we can make it as certain as humans can without taking God's place in judgment. And so this, Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 17. If I had a list of my top 100 verses, if I could only have 100, this would be one of those passages. It calms me down every time I read this passage. Isaiah 32:17 says this, "The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest." Are you enjoying that kind of peace right now? Do you have that kind of confidence right now? Is there a quietness to your spirit, to your soul, right now? Because that's one of the fruits of righteousness. In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 18, God is talking to a people who have rejected him, and he wants them to reconsider. And I would assume this is the conversation of one whose heart is broken, and this is the holy God whose heart is broken here. "If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants would have been like the sand, your children like its numberless grains. Their name would never be cut off nor destroyed before me." Your peace would have been like a river. If y'all have not met Irv and Bev, y'all meet them. They're from Casper, Wyoming. In Casper, Wyoming, their annual rainfall is 11.98 inches of rain. We have just been through a couple of years of maybe 15 to 18 inches of rain, and because of that, we have been experiencing such a drought that the buffalo grass went underground. 15 to 18 inches. If they got 18 inches in Casper, Wyoming, they would not know what to do with that kind of rain. It would be a flood year. Casper, Wyoming, when you look at it from up above, is like a giant garden spot. It's green. And the reason that it is because there is a river that runs through it. I lived there for 20 years. I never knew the North Platte River to run dry. I'm not saying it hadn't. Probably has. But I never knew it to run dry. Never knew us to ever be on any kind of a watering schedule because we were in danger of running out of water. We had a river running through it. You have a river of peace available to you. And so when you find your life unsettled, you have to ask yourself the question, why? Because this says, if you'd have paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river. It is very true that we have temporary times of turmoil in our life that have nothing to do with sin in our life. It's just something that happens. Often it's because of the sin of other people. He's not saying that you will never have times that you'll never have turmoil in your life. What he's saying is you'll have peace. Peace is different than just a cessation of turmoil. Peace is a state of mind. Peace that we have offered to us is one that passes all understanding. And some of y'all have been there. You have been in a chaotic environment. And yet you've had peace. Why? Because it's a fruit of the Spirit. Do you want to see how big this is? Let me just read a few passages. Romans 15:13. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace." Romans 1:7. "Grace and peace to you 1 Corinthians 1:3, grace and peace to you. 2 Corinthians 1:2, grace and peace to you. Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. We looked at the passage this morning. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, and yet we are told that we have grace and peace from God through the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. We have protection from the prowling lion. Continuing on, Ephesians 1, verse 2, grace and peace to you. Philippians 1, verse 2, grace and peace to you. Colossians 1, verse 2, grace and peace to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11, grace and peace to you. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 2, grace and peace to you. 1 Timothy 1, 2, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father. 2 Timothy 1:22, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father. Titus, grace and peace from God the Father. Philemon, verse 3, grace to you and peace from God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be yours in abundance. 2 Peter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be yours in abundance. 2 John, verse 3, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, grace and peace to you. Do you have peace? In at least 17 of the 27 New Testament books and letters, he starts off by saying grace and peace. Obviously, we don't approach God without his grace. We miss that sometimes. We understand our part of obedience. Grace is your ticket to obey. Grace is your permission not to die for your sins and to begin to work for God. And once you do, once you start in his employ, you'll have peace. It's guaranteed. Peace is a fruit of righteousness. Again, there will be moments in your life where it does not seem as peaceful. Sometimes it's because of our own sin, sometimes because of the sin of others. And sometimes it just happens. But if you find your life going along for months at a time, years at a time without peace, it's time to review where you stand before God and how you're applying his principles in your life. The plea to not miss heaven, we need to take that to heart. Think about how monumental these gifts of grace and peace and joy and mercy are. I heard a story years ago. I looked it up on the internet. It's there as well. I'm not sure it's the same story. It's certainly not told the same way. But essentially what it involved was a man who went on what used to be a steam liner. They call them cruise ships now. But it was before the transatlantic travel by airplane. And he had gotten ready for this cruise. He was going to Europe. He was excited about it. But he only had enough money for a ticket. He had saved the money for the ticket. He didn't have enough money for the food, or so he thought. And so he packed his bag filled with cheese and crackers. And while the other passengers would go and they would eat the good food that they had available to them, he would eat cheese and crackers. Towards the end of the trip, one of the passengers that was with him said, "I notice you always eat cheese and crackers. You never would eat with us. How come?" And he said, I just couldn't afford it. He said, "I have so longed to go to Europe that I went ahead and went, but I couldn't afford the meal." And the other passenger said, "Didn't you know? It's included in the price of your ticket. You know how many Christians are going on the price of their ticket without peace and joy? They have mercy and grace. They can't help that. If they are living as a Christian, you cannot help the mercy and grace because God extends that to you. But sometimes we don't feast at the table. Peace is a gift. It's a great gift. Why not enjoy it? It's part of the price. It's part of the packet. And I want to say again, I realize that there are times where we don't feel that peace because of circumstances. But if this is long-term, there's something wrong with your spiritual life. It's the only explanation. Otherwise, the writers of the New Testament would have never started out their letters so many times with the phrase, grace and peace to you. It's available to you. A couple more verses and we'll finish. But Ezekiel chapter 18, for those who get the idea that God is somehow cruel, that God is somehow looking for a time for us to step out of line so he can punish us. Look at this, Ezekiel 18, verse 30. O house of Israel, I will judge you, each one according to his ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent. Turn from all your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourself of all the offenses you've committed. And look at this. Get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. It's just that simple. If you find yourself apart from God, repent. It is just that simple. It does not take a mind that is so genius that you have to unlock these secrets that nobody else can unlock. God has told us, I don't want you to die. God has told us, I take no pleasure in the death of anyone. And yet, Jesus, his son, said, the path to destruction is wide and many enter thereby. But the path to righteousness, he's talking about heaven, is narrow and only a few enter therein. Why will many take destruction over life when only few will take life over destruction? And I think it's this simple. I think most people just don't know. And when I find myself in a situation that I'm not having the peace that God wants me to have, it's because I'm not accepting it. God wants you to be with Him forever. There's no question of that. He's made every effort to make sure you'll be with Him forever. He does not want you to miss heaven. So don't. The invitation's open. If you need to respond, won't you do that while we stand and sing?